In between Christmas and New Year, we talk about looking into that manger and seeing some light and where it shines. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the psychological, and everything that happens to be in between. This is episode number 551 of The Next Step. We invite you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Is this like the annual purgatory time or what? You know what I mean by purgatory? It's like it's a state of limbo. This period between Christmas and New Year. And you don't know what to make out of it, right? It's usually relaxed time. Christmas, you know, hoopla, everything's happened. New Year's coming up, and you kind of like got this thing. Some people are off of work. Some people are off of school. The mail comes and goes. Trash doesn't get picked up every day. So it's kind of like this oddball, weirdo time. Unless, of course, you're in the ministry. Unless you're a priest, then you're just kind of like on overdrive during this time because of so many things happening and trying to put services together. But it is kind of an oddball time, and that's where today's next step is. It's in this oddball situation, a state of limbo. It's not quite Twilight Zone, but it is a state of limbo. And I had so many things that are on my list to talk to you about, and I thought I'd start it off with, well, where we left off. And that happens to be on Christmas Eve Eve. This year we got to do something a little bit different. I usually organize a Christmas Eve service and with a live nativity and a live music band and all. And this year, because of my mom's passing, the primate archbishop asked if I would basically do a homily, and he said, I realize the demands on your time. He said, if we can help anyway. And it turned out that Christmas Eve was on a Monday, Sunday, the weekend was there. So we said, let's do a Christmas Eve Eve service. How about that? The Eve of the Eve. In other words, December 23rd. We said, let's do a Christmas Eve service. And he asked me to speak the homily that night, and I thought it'd be a good starting point because I'm going to talk about what you look for in the manger and what do you see when you look in the manger. In the second portion of today's show, I want to talk about some of the difficulties that we had this week, because when you look for the goodness and see some of the badness that's there in the world, and in particular, I'm going to talk about drugs, their effect on our children, in the second portion of today's show. But let me start off with the eve before Christmas Eve. It's interesting because you never really think about the day before an event. I do this with students that I teach, particularly in the Armenian school, when we talk about ethics. What would you do differently if you could be at a point, at a junction in history, and you had the ability to prevent something? In other words, like in the case of Armenians, what would if you were there April 23rd in Constantinople? If you were there before Talat Pasha ordered the execution of Armenians, which ended up with 1.5 million dead at the end of the genocide. What would you do if you happened to be there before Poland was invaded, before Hitler's order to invade Poland, before the Holocaust? And I use this in terms of ethical questions. Like, we're told not to kill. Would it be wrong to kill someone like a Talat Pasha before he gave the orders. It would be wrong to kill someone as a preemptive strike. And this may sound like all kinds of hypothetical questions. No, it's not. It's what the world is based on. It's preemptive strategies that they do. Like, what happens if somebody has nuclear weapons? Do you take a preemptive strike at them? And these are big, big ethical questions that you have to work out. It's something to defend yourself, but before that defense is needed, what do you do? So let's start off with there. We are there a night before Christmas Eve. And in this case, it's a positive thing, right? Christmas Eve. Now let's think about what happened on Christmas Eve. Joseph and Mary, they're in the cold. They're away from their home because of a census, because the government has ordered them to go out and they've journeyed over to Bethlehem. They're not part of the crowd. They're definitely foreigners in a foreign land, right, in Bethlehem. They're not married and she is pregnant. Well, kind of like unusual, not beyond unusual. It's just against the law. Yes. Let's say it. It was against the law back then, right? Scripture says, as we read, it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's what it is. That's the beginning of the Christian story, right? That's where Christ takes human form. God incarnate, right there, in this humble manger. What would you do differently if you were there a day before and you knew? What if you, just like I gave you some scenarios of some horrible, tragic events in history, what would you do in this case if you were there a little bit before? In fact, what I'm asking you is I'm asking you to look at that manger scene through the eyes of Saint Joseph. Joseph, a respectable man, a hard-working man, right? Who wanted to care for his wife, wanted to care for his child. Can you imagine what was going through his head? I want to make sure that there's a room. I mean, it's just basic. It's basic fatherly instincts, right? My wife is pregnant. We're getting into Bethlehem. If she delivers, what are the things that I want? Well, I want to make sure that there's a room, at least in the inn. I want to make sure that she will deliver safely, cleanly. And the last thought I have in my head is that it's going to be in a barn somewhere in a stable with all kinds of animals. This is not where you want your child to be born. I want to make sure that at least if I'm there a little bit early, make sure that there's fresh cotton, some hot water, basically preparation for baby delivery. How about us if we happened to be there before and knowing that there wasn't going to be room in the inn? What would we do if we happened to be able to know what was going to happen? Well, we'd make sure that there was going to be someplace, right? How about a hospitality committee? We do those so well, don't we? We'd organize a hospitality committee to make sure that Joseph and Mary didn't feel out of place in Bethlehem. We'd get there one day early and make sure all these things were in place. For Joseph and Mary, with the birth of their child, this was a new beginning. Nothing was ready. Nothing was prepared. Yet, this is important, nothing was ready. Nothing was prepared, yet Jesus' birth was perfect. Think about that for a moment. You could prepare all you want. It couldn't have gotten any more perfect than the way it was. He was born King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, in the most humble of all settings. In an act of humility, God becomes man. And he accents that action by being born there in a stable where the first witnesses are animals. In this lowly cattle shed, these animals. They're not wearing scarves on their heads. They're not embarrassed. They're not worried about who's looking at them and what will people say. No, they are focused on what is happening, who is being born at that moment. You see, Joseph may have wanted to do it differently, may have wanted it completely different. Now, let's not even say may have wanted it, okay? If you're a father, you're concerned about your wife, concerned about your newborn baby, you definitely do not want that baby being born in a stable. You don't want to wrap it in swaddling cloth and place him in a manger. You do not want to do that. A manger is where, it's like where the horses feed, you know? Just get it out of your head. I won't even use the descriptor may. Joseph may have wanted. No, Joseph wanted to do it differently, but the birth was perfect. In life, there are many times where we want to do something differently. And we look at the events, the way they unfold and the way they happen, and wish we had another chance to do it over. But life doesn't give us that opportunity, does it? It's sort of like the caravan of life, right? It just keeps moving forward. John Lennon said it so beautifully. He says, life is something that happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Think about that for a moment. We plan, we do so many things, but life, it goes on. It's happening right now. You plan all you want, life is happening. Every Christmas, we have an opportunity to remember the story in the manger. And again, this year, we had that opportunity one more time to confront the little baby in the manger. And we can reflect, and it becomes just like Scrooge, right? Just like Scrooge dealing with his past, the only thing he can do is change his future. In the same way, each Christmas, we have an opportunity to look into that manger to see the story and affect our future, affect our movement forward. You can't go back into the past. Christmas past is gone, as is all of life past. But Christmas today and Christmas tomorrow is there. One more time, we're given every Christmas to remember the joy of the angels singing. Why were they so joyous? What was their excitement? The eagerness of the shepherds. So eager to run out there to see what was going on. The perseverance of the wise men. Yeah, they were given a few options. No. They were going to persevere. They were going to go find the babe in the manger. Obstacles, yes, but they were on a mission to go there. The obedience of Joseph and Mary. The obedience despite the pressures in life. Obedient to the will of God. And so with the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, the most important thing that you see when looking at that manger is the peace that comes from the Christ child. When you look into the manger, you see the most humble, a child of all creation, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Savior. And you can say, oh, what I wouldn't do for the King of Kings, what I wouldn't do to help him out, how I wish I was there to help out. Mary sat there in the barn with the shepherds, the wise men's close by, Joseph, her husband, wondering what this all meant. It says it in Scripture. What does this mean? What's going on over here? Angel comes and talks to me. I've never known a man have a baby, and it's being born here in this manger. I'm placing that child in this barn. Wild, right? And you have to wonder what Mary was wondering. Not knowing that the little baby would one day grow up and say, I am the light of the world. And that light would shed its light in all of darkness. It would light up the darkness. This little baby would grow up to change the way people look at themselves. This little baby would grow up to establish the kingdom of God here on earth and making it accessible to everyone. Not only the rich, not only people of one unique tribe or one unique ethnicity, but a kingdom that is open to all. And for 20 centuries, this light has guided cultures, humanity. It has created hospitals, institutions of higher learning. Yes, I'm talking about most hospitals you go to, they're founded on basic Christian principles by usually some churches. And even if you didn't go, if you went to the county hospital or the state-run hospital, you've got to remember that those doctors and physicians that are in there are all learned men who have studied at places like Oxford and Harvard and most universities, which started off as religious places of religious learning, theological seminaries. All because of this little child. The advancements in science pushed by this little child being born there 2,000 years ago. No, nothing needed to be different on that Christmas Eve. The obedience of Joseph and Mary made the imperfect circumstances the perfect story. Remember that. In your lives. With God there, your obedience, like Joseph and Mary's, makes the imperfect circumstances of your life the perfect story. God made the events of that night in Bethlehem to be perfect. And Mary and Joseph looked into the cradle and they saw the same glory of God. The same Jesus who one day would say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And just like asking the question, if I was there, or what would I do differently if I was there? People asked, when did we see you naked and we didn't clothe you? When were you a stranger and we didn't take you in? When were you hungry and we didn't feed you? Because after all, you know, if Jesus is at our door and he's hungry, of course you're going to feed him, Son of God. And Jesus said, when you've done this for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And in that one statement, he has connected us to the Christ child in the manger, to the miracle worker during his ministry, to the God of all eternity. In that one statement, he has connected us. And look how beautiful it is. You want to know how to react to the manger? Just react to your fellow man. So that here on Christmas Eve, you look down into that manger and you see the light of the world. And that light shines in the darkness. You want to prepare for it? Do for the least of your brothers and your sisters. Oh, come, let us adore him. Okay, how do you want to adore him? Do for the least of his brothers and sisters. And you've adored him. You've adored him beyond belief. You see, this evening is an evening for us to look into the manger and at the same time to see that from that manger there's a light that shines on the entire planet, on the entire world. There are people today, families, who are looking for a new beginning. A new beginning, just as Joseph and Mary were looking for new beginnings. Just for all of humanity was looking for a new beginning. They are out in the cold. They are hungry and need of food, drink, and shelter. And these are the least of his brothers and sisters who we need to reach out. And even more as Armenians, we are called to this ministry because we were once the Christ family. Yes, we were once the Christ family. We were out in the cold, looking for shelter, starving, and tonight we have the opportunity to give back the type of gift that would make Christ happy. Tonight, on Christmas Eve, we remember the plight of the refugees. Is the largest refugee problem this earth, this planet has ever faced. It's happening right now. Today we think about the prisoners, not only the ones in jail, but the people who are imprisoned by their sins, by their conscience. We look at famine and hunger and how much we have and we don't distribute and how people go hungry. We look at hatred. We look at that hatred as it escalates into the war. Christmas Eve. We have a chance to look into the manger. We have a chance to see the light and where that light is shining throughout the world. We have a chance to connect the dots between that child in the manger and all of humanity and all of eternity. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and all who you love this Christmas time and forever. Amen. Let's take a break right now. Do a song of the day every week. How about this one for this limbo time between Christmas and the New Year?
Once in royal David City, stood a lonely cattle shed. Where a mother held her baby. You'd do well to remember the things he later said. When you're stuffing yourselves at the Christmas parties, you'll just laugh when I tell you to take a running jump. You're missing the point, I'm sure does not need making. That Christmas spirit is not what you drink. So how can you laugh when your own mother's hungry? And how can you smile when the reasons for smiling are wrong? And if I've just messed up your thoughtless pleasures,
called a Christmas song. Called the Christmas song. Jethro Tull. That happens to be off of their older Living in the Past album back in 1972. And I opted for this version because it has a younger Ian Anderson voice on it. There is a version that is on their Christmas album, which has some more beautiful harmonies, I believe, has some different harmonies. I'll put a link on today's show notes. Check out all of their wonderful music. And, you know, like, like, you know what I've been talking about? I don't know if this clicks with everybody, because I know we got a lot of new listeners this week, this last couple weeks. But for some of you old Next Steppers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm sharing with you some music that's been very influential in my life. And back in the 70s, yes. Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's almost 50 years, you know, that this music's been out there. But it doesn't talk about, it's not your usual Sunday morning fare. It's not about haloed individuals who are above it all, but it's about us and our responsibility and what it means to listen to the voice of a Jesus who talks about the Christmas spirit not being something that you drink or that you'll be on happy holidays in Las Vegas or up on a chateau and sipping hot toddies, but more of that there are hungry children that are every day needing us as a church to be alive to the message that Christ had. I won't go into too many details because some of it has to be artistically talking to you as well, which I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. So I leave you with that. That was called A Christmas Song by Jethro Tull. There'll be a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only this song, but all of their great, wonderful, wonderful music, which has been an inspiration to me and many, many others for the last, well, half a century. I believe, did I really say that? The first part of today's show, we talked about looking into the manger and then following that light as it shines on the rest of the world. And we look for our responsibility as a result of receiving that light. How about when that responsibility, how about when that tragedy comes to you? How about when you have prayed and that tragedy befalls you? So was Christmas Day this year when I received a call. One of the calls that throughout my ministry, 36 years as a priest, I've never gotten used to. Nor do I want to get used to it. It was one of our parents calling me and telling me that their son had passed away. This was a child that was once one of my students, a child who had struggled with drug addiction for the last 10 years. We had counseled, we had talked, we had prayed. Now it was over. And there it was, Christmas Day. Yeah, all the warm, fuzzy feelings that people have for Christmas Day gone. Because on this Christmas Day, this child was taken from us. And those words, just like when we say passed away, are code for things that we don't want to deal with ourselves. Passed away. It's really death, right? Same thing. This child was taken away from us. This child died. And children shouldn't die. Children shouldn't die. There's a word in Armenian. It's apsos. Apsos is like pity. That sorry situation. And about a month ago, my mom passed away, and I shared with you some of the expressions and some of the things that happened with you, my listeners. And one of the things that really kind of got me was a group of people who came for a visit. And they remarked that my mom's passing was apsos. It was pitiful that she passed away. It was a sorry situation that she passed away. And it was very unusual for me because in many senses, I was there as the one, as were my siblings. We were there to be consoled, and people coming, and I guess this is the way they would console us, by saying it's pitiful, and it wasn't. My mom lived to a nice old age, 85. I wish it could have been 100. I wish it could have been 95. I wish it could have been 85 plus one, right? I mean, you always want one extra. You always want two extra. You take it if it's been given to you. But if it's been given to you in health, and it wasn't. And at 85, she had completed her travels around this planet. Not only literally, but as a matter of fact, this planet has been spinning and she's been on it. And that heart has been beating for 85 years. And that is an incredible miracle. That's not pitiful. That's beautiful. Right? You look at that and you say, thank God. What a beautiful thing that is, that we were able to enjoy. Now, what's really sorry is when these young kids die. What's really pitiful is that we have created these scenarios where money is so important that drugs are being pushed into the lives of our children. And most tragic in this situation, because I had worked with this family for how many years? I've known the family for 23 years. And I know under what circumstances they came from the Middle East, from Syria, from Aleppo, from a part of the world that has known all kinds of tragedy. And I know what they've left. And I know, just like my parents and their parents before them and most immigrant families who end up here in the United States, there's one reason you come here. Because you're looking for a life better than what you could offer elsewhere. And so you come here with the hopes and dreams for your children. And so too this family came from war-torn areas. And they came looking for a better life for their children. So the worst case scenario where they were in the Middle East was their child would get a bullet through his head. And life would end. Here, they struggled for 10, 15 years with addictions, with drugs, with chemicals in their systems, in their child's system, overtaking their rationale, their will, their God-given talents, and you pray. Because you don't know what else to do. You put them into rehab. You pay. You pay through your nose. And in the end, you know that there's a tragedy looming. It's there. And we pray, and I have to tell you that it is one of the hardest prayers that you'll ever do, because you know that there's something stronger. And as a priest, I hate to admit that there's something stronger. It's like when boxers go out there and box, right? Think about it for a moment. Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. George Foreman took him out once. Later on in their fighting career, Ali took out Foreman. Okay? Does that mean that Foreman was a weak man? No. George Foreman was an incredibly strong man. When Muhammad Ali lost, did it mean that he was a weak man? No. He was incredibly strong. But there was somebody stronger. There's something stronger. And this is what we have to accept. We have to admit it, that these drugs are vicious. And they prey on all people. Doesn't matter what their ethnicity is, doesn't matter their social class, doesn't matter how old they are, these drugs are physical killers, are physically paralyzing to people. And we saw it unfold. We saw it unfold. And how many times have I seen it unfold? And here's the tragedy. This is a silent killer in the sense that what I said a few minutes ago, in the Middle East, you know, a bullet goes through your kid, You know where it's coming from. You know who sent it. And it's a quick death. Yeah, it's just as tragic as anything else. It's a death as a death, right? And it's tragic. It's upsource. It's pitiful. But in this case, you don't know where it's coming from. You know that it's being channeled in. It's being brought in. You know that there are obscene profits behind this. You know that there's so much money being pushed behind this. And it's just being fed. It's being fed to our children, to everyone. And we just accept it as a way of life because we don't know how to control it. We don't know what the answer is. And so we talk a good talk about looking into the manger, about seeing the light, that Jesus is powerful, that God is all powerful, that God can help. But don't let it ever fool you when the enemy seemingly has won. Okay, don't call it a power struggle. Understand that these are powerful forces. Understand that drug addiction is completely real and true and is a physical dependence that needs to be addressed. And there are a variety of ways of addressing them. Some people succeed in overcoming it. Other people don't. And it ends in tragedy. Both ways, it's a tragic, tragic situation that can be averted if we are awake to it. If we are awake to it from the beginning. And a lot of it has to do with the upbringing and what we teach and what we say. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've got answers for it. But I do know that there needs to be some kind of basic dialogue. Just like we saw here in this country with this Me Too movement, we keep seeing these movements. And I remember back in the Reagan era, you know, with Nancy Reagan talking about just say no, you know, bringing it down to these cutesy little statements, or now with Me Too, instead of addressing the main culprit and what our society is bringing about. Look, it's really easy. Just take a look at what's being given to us. I've been talking about this for how many years? Look at just the basic models on social media where everything is equal. So the picture of you going fishing with your grandson is on equal level with the starvation experienced in South Africa. You know, the people put up these pictures and we're all supposed to take it in as equal weight items because they're being flashed across our screens and we're understanding this screen as reality. I have had people in my parish who have literally lost self-respect because their posts on Facebook are not as popular as someone else's. I've seen this. And we've seen this. This is not just about social media. This goes beyond that. For centuries, from the beginning of time, when people have convinced themselves that really who they are is a collection of their possessions as opposed to what's in their heart. And we've built up a lifestyle, especially in countries where you have this affluence, where we've built this idea that this affluence is your definition of who you are. And so the more you have, the better you are. And remember a few years ago, 20, 30 years ago, there was this saying, he who dies with the most toys wins. And the counter, there were used to be sayings like this. He who dies with the most toys wins. And we're seeing that come back right now. That's how people are talking right now. Accumulate more and you win, yeah. And the answer to that, of course, is, yeah, he who dies with the most toys still dies. You end up dead. So reconcile yourself with the creator of the universe before it's too late. But we've forgotten about all that. We keep selling and selling and selling. And don't fool yourselves by gimmicks, by little sayings. You know, Fox News, it's basically a conservative think tank, right? Conservatism, right? Let's say it that way rather than think tank. Okay, conservatism is professed via Fox News, which sorts and looks through the material and says, this is what should be consumed by you. Okay, that's fine. I mean, every political agenda should have its vehicles, its organs by which it pronounces itself, okay? Fox News. But that same Fox channel, you look at the programming on that same Fox channel and you see completely different. There is a show on Fox. It's called American Guy, American Dad or something. No, excuse me, Family Guy. Family Guy, there, thank you. Family Guy. It's this big, huge, overweight guy who makes jokes. And I don't know if there's a laugh track or not, but he has a child that resembles a football. He has another child that's a dog. And the dog talks about having sex with the human being. Ordinarily, these are taboo subjects, which certainly you wouldn't expect on a conservative base to be talking about bestiality in such a relaxed manner. And yet it's offered to us as entertainment and offered to us for our humor fixation. Ha ha. Yeah. It's a joke, right? And of course, the examples are many. The examples of this kind of double standards are many. You look out and we talk about racism. Racism is a horrible thing. Yes, it is. You know that last night that one of the coaches, wrestling coaches, got reprimanded and thrown out of the school district because he made some African-American guy cut off his dreadlocks before he wrestled. Finally, yes, there's some justice. The guy made this racist kind of things, and so they took him out of the school district. Okay, now how about following through and doing the same when you watch some of these videos produced by these rap artists where racism is rampant, where sexuality, where women are just basically abused, and there's like no mention of that. There's no talk about that. That goes under the category of art. And I'm the last person to say that, you know, you need to censor art. But you need to understand. You need to understand that if we're going to complain about kids dying of drugs, we haven't taken the first steps to stop glamorizing it. We haven't taken those first steps. Imagine here in California, we just legalized marijuana recently for recreational purposes. I think last year they just did it. Now, we have some serious drunk driving problems here in California. Obviously, it's overly serious because we have the most cars of all the states in the United States. So obviously, number-wise, yes, it's a horrible number. Drunk driving, fatalities, accidents, collisions. And on top of that, now we're doing intoxication via drugs. And there's new cute little signs that are going on throughout the on all the freeways. Buzz driving is drunk driving or equals drunk driving. In other words, if you get buzzed through marijuana, just remember that it's the same. Well, of course it's the same, but we're just adding to it. We're just adding to it. Instead of saying we have some real problems, okay, here's one more drug to keep you away from reality. And it all comes down to that basic issue of reality. And I'm not sitting here on a soapbox and pretending that life is all good and, you know, there are no problems. And, you know, I could tell you all kinds of stories. And if you want to listen to 11 years of my podcast, you know where I'm coming from. But I'm at a point where right now I cannot do one more funeral for one more child. And that's what I'm going to be doing. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing one more funeral for one more child who shouldn't have died, who had no business in that drug world, who was taking drugs for someone else's financial profit. That's how pure and simple it was. A kid who, if he had stayed in the Middle East, might have died of a bullet, but over here brought his entire family for the last 10 years through this horrible, horrible addiction process, which ended up in his death. It's difficult because it's in that limbo state that we find ourselves. Christmas, the Prince of Peace, the healer of all, the one who is the greatest, the savior of this world has come, has been born. Merry Christmas, we say. And in the same breath, we have to look down on our children and see them in these coffins that are lined with the money of these drug dealers, in these coffins that have only one reason, one purpose why they're under the age of 30, a kid dying. It's because somebody made some profit, and we were so stupid, we were so blind to keep our eyes closed to the problems around us. And it's about that us that I'm going to leave you with today. Because I started today telling you about a Christmas Eve service where we assembled on the eve of the eve inside of a church. And you know what was so beautiful about it? Because throughout the Christmas season, you see lights, you see decorations, you see manger scenes. You see them publicly and privately on home lawns. And the latest thing, of course, are these horrific balloons which get blown up of Joseph and Mary and the child in the manger. And you see them, which are beautiful when blown up, but oh, man, do they look scary when they're all deflated. Oh, you don't want to see them on the lawns. They're scary. You know, like you say, what happened to Joseph over there? Flattened out. You know what I'm talking about? These huge, huge balloons. But what's beautiful about Christmas Eve is that we bring that manger into the church. And I want you to think about that in terms of what I've just talked about. We need to start understanding that Christ belongs in the church. And from that church, the light shines. We keep talking about these situations, whether it is the refugee crisis, whether it is the drug addiction that our children are facing, as problems that government, that others can solve. No. The real power is inside. The real power is there in the church. We need to be able to focus in on the manger and understand that that manger has its start inside of that church, where the community of believers gather and together they reflect the light of Christ. Merry Christmas. Here's Susie to fill you in a little bit on what's going on. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you for all your wonderful well wishes, especially coming into the new year and the Christmas season, for the donations you've sent our way and the support. It goes a long way to keeping this voice active over here. I want to tell you that some of our biggest programs that were so successful this year, including our toy drive, which went all the way into Christmas, and the number of toys we delivered in the thousands. And this is kind of interesting because this was the first year that physically we didn't have a church to assemble. We did something a little bit different and did it remotely, and just thousands of toys. If you're on Facebook, you've and Instagram on our social pages, you've seen You've seen some of those pictures. Just really, really beautiful. We'll see if we can put a link on today's show notes. Or donkeys for Darfuri refugees. Wow! So successful. People heard about it and they wanted more donkeys. So we got more donkeys. I can't remember what we're up to, but quite a bit. Helping the refugees in the refugee camps. And each donkey is just like Christmas, right? What was Christmas? A chance for a new life for all of us? That's what the donkeys offer these people. A new life for them. A possibility for a new life. We helped out Albert. Remember him? It was the one who was thrown in front of the truck. And we were able to reach out to him. And there is still the GoFundMe page that I believe is still available, but you can always donate through In His Shoes. Sasna Shen coming up this year, and of course through Essentia, we sponsored two families, and by that, we're not just talking about toys, we're talking about the food, we're talking about the supplies for school, for work, their clothing, and just incredible opportunities. We're going to be back out at Essentia on New Year's Eve on the 31st. Also, Armenian Christmas, January 6th, conventionally called Armenian Christmas, of course, the Feast of Theophany. I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah. And if you happen to be there, please do look us up. I believe we are going to be at the Greek Orthodox Church. We'll see if we can get some information and put it on our show notes. I want to thank you all for joining us today and joining us throughout the year, because this is the last one for 2018. So with that, it's my pleasure and my privilege to wish you all the best of health and happiness into the new year. Where next time we meet will be 2019. I look forward to it, to new heights that we reach with the help of God and with all of our love and support. God bless you all. On behalf of Susie, our producer, and Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskan saying Happy New Year to all of you and wishing you God's blessings today and always, the blessings of the Christ Child in your lives from Christmas to forever. God bless you, and we look forward to taking the next step with you again next year.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
This is the reason of the season.